I'm Joe Feeks, editor of Poultry Health Today, and with me is Jacques de Witt. He is from GD Animal Health in the Netherlands. Welcome, Jacques. It's great to have you here.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
I know in Europe, and for that matter, all over the world, when people mention infectious bronchitis, they also mention your name in connection with it, because you've pretty much devoted a lot of your research to it, haven't you?
Yeah, I did my, it started in 1990, and that was the start of my PhD. And since then, I've always been involved in IBV.
And it's interesting because infectious bronchitis is one of those diseases that is experienced worldwide by poultry producers. The industry has been blessed with lots of different vaccines and good diagnostics. A lot of these vaccines cross-protect, but it's still a big problem. I mean, I'm getting the impression that we've won a lot of battles, but it seems like we're losing the war.
Oh, I don't think we're losing the war, but we will always be, it's a moving target. IBV is you get new mutants, some come, some go, some come back. So it's a moving target, and with a moving target, you're never finished. But if you compare it to the knowledge has increased quite a lot. So in many cases, we can manage quite well. But yeah, as I said, if new variants come up, or if the conditions change, for example, if you have IB under control, but you get another co-infection with mycoplasmas or H9N2 in a big part of the world, yeah, then things are getting far more complicated than they were in the past. So you always have to be awake with IBV.
But by itself, it seems like it's a very complicated virus. You mentioned how it's constantly changing. But what is it structurally about this virus that makes it so resilient and difficult?
There are a lot of mutations within IBV. Many of these mutations are not beneficial for the virus at all, but some are. And under the right conditions, then you might get another strain for which you have to adapt your program. But because of the variability in the strains, some cause, well, basically all can cause respiratory problems. But many of them also drops in egg production, some of them kidney problems, sometimes maybe even gut problems. And so this disease has so many faces that, yeah, wherever you are, you see somebody else. And that makes it interesting for the researchers and challenging for the field.
Now, at the International Avian Respiratory Disease Conference, you gave a keynote address on your favorite topic, infectious bronchitis. And you told the audience that when it comes to infectious bronchitis, theory and practice don't always match.
No.
What do you mean by that?
There is knowledge, there are good vaccines, but to apply them well, people have to be, basically have to respect the virus, I would say. It's an enveloped virus, that means you can inactivate the virus quite easily. If you apply the vaccines in a proper way, they can do a fantastic job. But if you don't apply them in the right way, you can lose quite a lot of virus. For example, mass application. Let's say a chicken needs to have a certain amount of vaccine to be able to cope well, and then you should get a good level of protection. But we don't apply the vaccines one by one. We apply them in mass application. That means spray, or drinking water, basically, for IBV. And that's our way. These ways are not invented for the virus. We didn't ask the opinion of the virus. It's for us, human comfort.
Yes.
Fast, cheap, easy, etc. The vaccines are really able to do a very good job, but you have to respect them how you apply them, and you have to check yourself. Please check yourself once every so many times. Do a PCR several days after the application, or maybe serology can help, depends on the vaccination program. Just check yourself.
What is an ideal procedure for diagnosing what kind of infectious bronchitis you have in your flock, and then we can talk about how you go about planning a vaccination program?
An ideal program that's not that easy, because you have so many variations.
Yes.
There is not one solution. It depends on the circumstances. Make baselines and see if tight, for example, at slaughter time, what are your IB titers? Are they going up or going down? Do you have a certain percent of positive that you expect after vaccination, but not too high, because that might indicate a challenge? And that gives you a feeling what's going on. But you don't know which virus it is. With serology, you cannot really say which strain is in my flocks. For that, you have to go for the virus itself. And well, there are different tests to go for the virus, but in reality, PCR is by far number one worldwide, relatively fast, and also able to find a lot of different strains. So I think that's the best method at the moment. And then you have to aim for birds that are replicating the virus. So during the preferably acute phase of the problem, if you have a respiratory problem or kidney problems, or well, if you have the start of drop on the egg production, if you then use PCR to see is there IBV, and if it is, which strain, then I think you're quite up to date that you know what's going on in your flock.
Is PCR the only way you can monitor the progress of a vaccination program?
Quite a lot of people think, oh, that looks like IB, so they check for IB, positive, negative, end of discussion. But if you don't check for the other factors, you might miss the most important part, that it's not just IB, no, it's IB with something else. Mm-hmm. And if you then only focus on IBV, and you ignore the other part, then even the best vaccination program might not be able to solve it because you're ignoring that there is a second factor. So, and that's always a bit the fight, but for diagnostics, it costs money. You have to do efforts. And sometimes more diagnostics makes it more complicated because you get more results, which are not always very clear. Sometimes you think, what's going on? So it's more diagnostics is not always making your life easy. But in the end, I think if you have more knowledge, what's really going on, you make better decisions.
Let's talk about co-infections a little bit more, because I've had veterinarians, both in the United States and in Europe, tell me that infectious bronchitis is bad, make no mistake, but you get so focused on managing infectious bronchitis, you take your eye off the ball, and then in the meantime, other secondary infections are coming along, whether they be E. coli or some of the other ones that you mentioned, and they can really cause heavy economic losses. What's been your experience?
No, that's absolutely, I agree. It's IB is basically everywhere. So detecting IB is not that difficult. IBV is quite often playing a part of the, is explaining part of the problems, maybe even sometimes a very big part of the problem. But you cannot assume that if you have a positive test for IBV, that is the complete explanation of everything that you see in the field. Maybe IB is 90% of this explanation, but maybe only 10. Because what are the other factors?
What have we learned about vaccination timing? Is there a set schedule that applies to all infectious bronchitis viruses, or does it vary with the type of strain?
There is not one solution, but in general, I would say it's in broilers usually the choice everything in hatchery, or the first one in hatchery and the second one in the field around 2 weeks. You always have to make compromises. That's life, certainly in broilers. But if you combine that with checking yourself, for example, if you say, well, I cannot wait until 14 days with my second vaccination, I have to do it at 10 days. Okay, if that's real life. But if you then check 5 days later with PCR, is my vaccine replicating? And you have good results, you're doing an excellent job.